subject, czy bez zaskoki, bez woli, bez czynie i wreszcie.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Fundamentalists Podcast. I'm Elliot Morgan, and this is a podcast that I do along with Dr. Peter Rollins, a philosopher from Northern Ireland. And we live in the same apartment. We live in the same city. Hard to not do one without the second one. And we are recording this, what, 2 days after the previous one, which was the day before Easter, because you, Pete, are about to embark on the next leg of your tour with Mr. Rob Bell.
Yep, that's correct.
In addition to that, your short film that you produced is in post-production.
Yep.
I am leaving on tomorrow for Indianapolis.
You're leaving on tomorrow.
Leaving on tomorrow. That actually makes sense. So then I'm doing filming, and then I'm doing a stand-up show.
What are you filming?
A little show called Mental Floss.
Oh.
Have you heard of this?
I have, from you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do a show at Crackers Comedy Club in Indianapolis on April 4th at 8:30 p.m.
Very cool.
See how I rattled that up?
Look at
that.
So
we're busy boys.
We are busy boys.
And for that reason, this is going to be much like the previous podcast where it's going to be us chatting and hanging out and talking about what's going on in our lives with probably a little bit of substance thrown in. Would you say that's accurate?
I think so. I think, but we were going to do very little substance last week and we ended up doing a bit of substance. So I think we've got a good excuse not to do as heavy a one this week if we do want to.
Right. Do you think it's because we're such substantive people that we can't help but even in fluff, you know, automatically?
Yeah, well, I feel like whenever we're sitting talking about German idealism over a drink every Friday night.
Yeah, some of it bleeds over.
It bleeds over. It's like heavy all the time.
I'm hoping, I don't know what you're doing after this, but I'd like to buy you a drink for your birthday. I've not had a chance to do that yet. I know we're hanging out tonight, but with other people. So if you have time, we should do that. I'd like to purchase you a thing. That way it'll make up for all of the tonic water of yours that I drank.
And ice cream that you ate.
That wasn't my fault.
Was it not?
No. Oh. That was a substance. I had no control. I did know that I was doing it, and I just accepted it. I was like, I shouldn't need it, but I needed it. It was like, it called to me.
Yeah,
and I don't even like ice cream that much, which is the weird thing.
Yeah, it's you don't have a sweet tooth. Like, I have such a sweet tooth. I've got a jar of candy from Soccer Bit, and I can leave it out knowing that you don't really care.
Not in a million years would I go into that jar of candy, which is an actual, like, nice jar. It looks like something out of, like, a old candy shop.
It is. No, I love candy.
Where did you get that from?
Just IKEA, funnily enough.
The jar with candy in it?
No, just the jar.
Okay, so let's back up. So you bought a jar and then had candy separately and then put the candy in the jar?
In the jar? That's not weird, is it?
It's just very, which we'll get on this in a little bit, but it's a very adult thing to do, to be like, it just seems very like, I don't know. It seems I'm not that type of person. I don't have that kind of commitment. I do love that though. When you take something and you put it in a different container, that makes it feel nice. Like when people have Q-tips in nice jars rather than Q-tips in the box. But I don't know. Something about it just seems like, well, why would you do that if it's already in
a container?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm sucker for containers. I'll look at a container and go, that's a nice container. Like here I do.
You do like containers. I'm looking at a container right here.
That's right. For cards.
And then I've seen you buy things and you're right. Everything that you buy tends to be a container of some kind.
I mean, even mouthwash. I take the mouthwash out of the plastic bottle and put it into a glass bottle.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
I'm glad you said it, because I was like, what direction do I go with this? Putting the mouthwash in this. You did the same thing with the wonderful gentleman, Adrian, who designed or composed our intro music.
That's right.
Got us a bottle of Mezcal,
which we were drinking, and I bought a
containers!
Container for, this is also a container, but that's a normal container.
Sure,
like
just a classic slash cup. But
I got a decanter?
Yes, a decanter,
For the Mezcal.
And it's very cool, and it matches your other smaller containers.
For the drink.
But the thing is, that Mezcal came in a beautiful bottle.
Whenever we went to Las Vegas, you saw that I had a nice container for my toothpaste and toothbrush.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember like the second day we lived here, you got some order from Amazon that you'd forgotten about, and it was just a series of small like containers. Like it was just a tiny little boxes, and you were like, I don't know what I'm gonna put in it, but that's hilarious. Yeah. Why do you like containers so much?
That is a strange thing.
Have you noticed this before?
This is like a revelation to me. I'm like feeling very embarrassed and yet also exhilarated.
Yeah.
Because it's, you kind of, I'm seeing something about myself.
We're mysteries unto ourselves.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go into my room and see how many containers that I've bought.
Yeah, and like things. And then you'll probably start noticing next time you want to buy something, you're gonna be like, well, that is a container of some kind. Yeah. Maybe it's just that most things are in some way containers.
Yeah,
like because like if you're buying something that's a decoration, it's probably going to be like a bowl or some kind of a plate or some kind of a thing that you put something on a shelf.
Yeah,
all types of containers.
Yeah, and I just think, why not have one that looks nice?
Yeah.
like good bottles of alcohol, good bottles of, like, and tequila is very good at this. Bottles of tequila always look amazing, you know?
I know.
So, you know, you go, like, if you're going to have a container for a toothbrush, why not make it diamond encrusted?
Yeah. Diamond encrusted or copper.
Yeah, copper.
Your glasses.
Well, yeah, I haven't got to diamond level yet.
Well, speaking of adulthood, how do you feel now that you're comfortably in your 45th year of life?
Yeah. It's weird, like we're all growing old or you're dead, and I'm now kind of like, if I live to 90, which is unlikely, but you know, I'm halfway through, I'm probably more than halfway through my life.
You could live to 90.
Yeah.
Do you want to? Do you want to live to 90?
I mean, only if I'm kind of fit and healthy.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult to do.
At that age, like 89, and be that guy, that old guy.
I know. And like, I'm not exactly working for it at the moment. Like,
yeah.
there's nothing about my lifestyle that would lead anybody to suspect that I'll be that fit 90-year-old.
We knew when he turned 45, like, look at him. He's going to be living well into his 90s. Although with that body.
The crazy irony is a lot of writers and philosophers and stuff live for a very long time because they're not in a stressful environment. Whereas like very fit people,
it's like professors, I feel like professors live the most luxurious lives because you're just like in a position of power. You're, you know, sequestered away from the world and you're thinking all day and like just talking to people who look up to you.
Yeah.
It's a very kind of like,
there's no stress. You know? Like you can't run a marathon, but you can kind of outlive the marathon runner who is feeling wrecked when they're 60.
Wow.
Their knees are giving way.
So you think you're going to be, you'll be around for a while then?
Well, I had 6 slices of bacon this morning for breakfast.
A buddy of mine named, do you know who Harley Morenstein is from Epic Mealtime?
No, and I don't even know if you're speaking English at the
moment. Yeah, exactly. That was a bunch of weird sounding syllables. Well, he's hilarious and he's from Canada and he's this large bearded man who does these insane like bacon concoctions. And he's sending us some jalapeno infused bacon and some Jack Daniels. Yeah, so that'll
seriously?
Be.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. I think, I'm assuming it'll get here at some point. But yeah, I don't know why. I have no idea why, but...
Yeah.
It might be his brand or a bacon would be my guess. Maybe he has a brand of bacon now.
He's That'd a brand kind of cool. bacon? What? He's
yeah, a YouTuber? My guess is it's his brand in some capacity or he works with them. Because he does, they're like, he does like, he got to start doing like insane cooking show type things. Mm. And, and then when SourceFed was happening, we were good friends with him. And so he was doing something with Joe and then that it all. So anyway, we'll have some bacon in the house. That's
very, nice.
Very fancy bacon,
I guess. That's good.
Novelty bacon.
But growing old, that's a good, interesting topic.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it? Because I have my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like our thoughts are going to be pretty similar.
We're very different ages. I mean, you are
31.
31.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, you still think you're going to live forever?
I do. I have absolutely that thing. I don't, the idea of aging hasn't even really occurred to me yet.
Yeah.
I don't even see 40s as being like a real thing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine turning 40.
I know.
That's,
I mean, weirdly, like, because we're, I suppose, living generally healthier, the 40s, how I feel now, isn't much different from my 30s.
Okay.
I got to say, there's a couple of things, like, my thumb was a little bit numb the other day, and I thought maybe that's how it starts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just a little numbness happening. In your
That's thumb. What I think. It, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then in 3 weeks, I have to get my arm chopped off or something. You know, it starts with a little cough,
yeah,
or tickle in your throat, or just
you numbness kind of, is fun because I like to imagine that somebody in the future is erasing me from time.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
And like slowly, it's going to spread, and then you're going to start to become translucent, like Back to the Future. And
yeah,
eventually fade into nothing.
That would be the best way to die, maybe.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Cool. Yeah, I would love if there was a murderer who just before he killed people told people that he was from the future. I feel like that'd be like a funny, like if you're going to be a murderer, at least have a sense of humor about it. Oh, yeah. And if you were to be like, I'm from the future, I have to kill you because you go on to do terrible things, and then you kill them, at least that person dies thinking they're important.
Or he's a leader of the resistance.
Yeah,
I'm doing it because, you know, I'm a Terminator kind of thing. You don't want to
build him up a little bit.
You don't want to do a movie because that they'll know you're bullshitting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah. Well, how could you do it in a way that's not? Because even from the future sounds like you're going to like seriously. But if you said,
you don't think you, in that moment right before you're about to be like you're not thinking rationally. You know, you could probably sneak all sorts of stuff in because your adrenaline's pumping so much that, like, if you literally think you're about to die and somebody's like, I'm from the future, and then the gun goes off, I guarantee you I will 100% believe that.
And if you had a few things around the room that just seemed weird, that, like, kind of seemed out, like, futuristic.
Like typos, like that poster you have, that the Stalin.
Oh, yeah.
If there's something that's just
off. It
can't
be that subtle because they'll never notice.
It
has to be something that lends credibility to the claim.
Okay.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Well, hopefully there's a murderer out there who starts doing that. I think that's a fun...
I hate to say it, but that's like an... that probably makes it less bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still really bad, but it's maybe just slightly like one... Like
you want to make it perfectly clear that you're against murder.
Yes, yeah, let's just say completely against murder, but that maybe is just one click down from like... But yeah, you couldn't take it into consideration in court.
If anything, it's like a trolling thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't take it into consideration. I think it's just more of a maniacal way to make people feel a certain way. It's just one more type of manipulation. If you're going to,
kill,
you know,
control kind of issue. Yeah.
This is really, you know, like the serial killer, like pieces that they do, like because some people are just obsessed with serial killers.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it, but like when you watch the psychology of the serial killer and they get into all that weird stuff about them and how they're like. You know, their brains work. You ever get into that stuff? You ever listen to like the podcast Serial or like any of those things?
I did listen to a little bit of that. And I know there's a huge thing that some people, love the magazines that go through killers. And it's almost like, oh, I hate this. But of course you don't because you're buying the magazines.
Totally.
But I wonder what it means.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, you're 45 now.
Yeah. So I'm still feeling like, reasonably healthy, fine, but there is an interesting thing going on. Oh yeah, now I'm kind of like in the second half of my life.
Do you feel like when you look at your life that your age aligns with what you've done, where you are, and kind of your mental health? Like, do you feel like a 45 year old, or do you feel like still in your 30s, or maybe even older?
Yeah, in some ways, like you just always seem to feel the same way.
Yeah.
But maybe sometimes just a bit more comfortable in your achievements or your skin. It's weird because I don't think of myself as 45. You don't think of yourself as 31, I guess. You just think of yourself as a subject.
Yeah. It is interesting because, you think of age as like people are like, it's just a number. But when you think about it in your head, it is like, I am now this number.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a weird way to.
And the problem is like, as long as your body's working, it's fine. The problem is whenever your body starts to just degenerate and then you become very aware that, you know, you're contained within this fleshy, bloody, pulsing
dying shell thing.
And there's lots of like in traditional religion there's always been promises that you can escape your body, you know, that you will, the body will decay but your soul
heard of this
whatever, but yeah, but
it's you're fun. Talking about heaven
yes, or you know the other forms of that, but interestingly that's still as believed as ever, but now it's the tech people who are saying it. We'll be able to digitally download ourselves potentially in the future into software. And so it's almost like technology might be able to cash the checks that religion was writing.
Well, isn't religion sometimes referred to as a literal technology too? Because
yeah.
I think that's something that I heard from either you or someone in that world referred to it as, and I just am not familiar with the word technology used to describe anything other than like computers and electronic stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently the word technology is a much broader definition.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a technology of the self, religion, you know.
I like that. That's very exciting. I was rewatching The Matrix this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. It's a great show.
Fantastic.
Does it hold up?
Dude, it holds up really well. I mean, it's like, you know, it's cheesy. It's a movie and you can kind of tell that it's like, at that time, but still kind of nails it. And like, it's crazy how right they got it, how it's like, oh, it has happened. Like now it's almost becoming a joke. Like I did that Domino's thing and now I'm getting tweets, you know, every day from people about talking about something and then their phone, you know, advertises it to them. And it's like, we're being watched. The machines are taking over. There are algorithms. Like we're, you know, the whole point of the Valley Folk thing is like, we're trying to create a system where we're not beholden to the algorithm in some way. But it's like, that's so funny that that's like, just a normal thing that we have to think about. There's a computer system that can make or break our lives, depending on whether we succumb to it or don't succumb to it, or if we fight against it or if we don't fight against it, which is crazy. We're all just like, we're trying to appease the machines already.
Yeah. And I, for one, welcome the overlords.
Please.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Give me something. Yeah. Just create a society where I don't have to, well, where Elon, it's so Elon bad Musk, that there's no hope.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Elon Musk is very, you know, he's concerned about artificial intelligence and how it's going to go. And I think he's probably right. Whereas Zuckerberg, I think, is kind of like, you know, bring it on. And but Elon Musk said
Zuckerberg is not looking good these days.
I know, and Zuckerberg, you know, is not like, I don't think has a grasp of the stuff as well as Musk does, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a whole thing in philosophy that consciousness is kind of like, it arises out of this inherent antagonism in existence, and basically human beings are this explosion of the antagonism of life at all of this. But what it simply means is any type of consciousness could be really, you know, could be bad. Like, so if computers become self-conscious, they could act in unreal.
Yeah, it's not going to go good.
They could have an unconscious of some sort. You know, they could, weird things could happen.
That's in that one book that we talked about for ad nauseum before, about the Capitalism and Desire, which I recently started reading again.
Oh, yeah.
And, but yeah, like the consciousness just being the thing that happens when you're taught language and there's a separation from like the language from the object or whatever.
Yeah.
The signifier versus the signified.
Yeah.
And then that create, and it's fun. It's a little like, I don't know. It seems a little, so basic. Like it's such a basic way. Like like when I read that, I was like, oh, is that all it is? Like consciousness, which is, we don't know where it is. And it's this crazy thing. We don't know how it works. It basically seemed to say that it boiled down to, you know, an apple being called an apple versus an apple being an apple, and the antagonism that's created in those two things.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, all right, that's all. Like, it was just the fact that we learned a language or we invented a language. I mean, I'm sure there's more to it, but it kind of was like, ah,
yeah,
there's nothing cool about that. You know?
Yeah.
That's not as fun of a story as reincarnation or any other kind of thing, which is,
or anything substantial. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's my armchair understanding of consciousness.
Yeah. Consciousness. I mean, consciousness is a very difficult thing because, you think it is something, you know, consciousness is something, so you think you could be able to isolate it somewhere in your brain or whatever.
Yeah.
But in a sense, some people think that consciousness is not a thing. It's kind of like an illusion that arises out of certain kind of like fissures and antagonisms in brain chemistry. So you can never find it. It's not something. It's actually this void of something.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was doing a tangent. I've been doing these like little YouTube videos that are just kind of stream of thought things. And let's see what we're live streaming for your patrons. I'm going to pop in here real fast and see what they're saying. Either of you coming to the Orlando, Florida area? Pete, anything?
You lived, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Close to there?
I used to work at Disney World. I was Goofy for a very long time in Orlando, Florida. So the answer would be no. But if there's a comedy club you'd like me to come to, I can do that. We are figuring out our first live show, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're going to be ready to announce that really soon, which is exciting. What was I talking about?
You were talking about,
I was excited about it. I had a thought.
We're saying about consciousness.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing these videos, this one-off thought videos.
Yeah.
based off of thoughts that I have. And the one that I did today that I don't think I'm going to post, but it was about that phrase, character is who you are when no one is watching. And I was thinking about, like, I was doing this tangent where I was like, I can't wait to find out what my character is, because I never feel like I'm actually alone ever. Like, yeah. I feel like if I am alone, I'm just performing for my future self or like an ex or like God, you know. And I know this goes into what you're talking about, or like I have a picture of my grandmother who's passed away on my bathroom wall. Why I put it there, I don't know, but it's with all of my sentimental photos. And I always imagine that, like, she's watching me, or she, yeah. you know, is like either disappointed or proud or loving, or, you know, is in some sort of higher state. But it's like, I'm always like, I can't wait to know how I act when there's no one around, because there's always like little
invisible
people.
There's always a virtual
people.
Other of some kind. Yeah, yeah. yeah
Which I know is
yeah.
so clearly based off of what I'm sure it came out of something we were talking about, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to think, actually. People yeah. think, oh, when I'm alone, but often we're just as performative when we're on our own.
Because I was doing this thing where I was like, the bit was gonna be me at the gym, and I was by myself, but somehow out loud I was like, this is for you, Jessica, or like some kind of thing where like I'm entirely alone, but the only reason I'm working out is for some ex or some kind of, you know, to prove something to somebody yeah. somewhere who has no interest or isn't present at all. Yeah, it's very
like
fun.
You could say the only things that happen without anybody watching kind of can be are your symptoms, because your symptoms are something that explodes for no reason. It catches you off guard, mm-hmm. like an explosion of rage at the stupidest thing that your mum says or something, and you go, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like no one's watching that, including yourself, you know. That's kind of maybe an explosion of something that
yeah. And that's what made me that the consciousness being that like explosion of kind of like the whatever that we don't even realize yeah. is happening. I was saying that, like, or thinking about like a better phrase then characters who you are when no one is watching would be like, character is who you are when you are speaking with someone, and even though you're there with them, something happens that is a completely independent action, not at all based in who they are as a person or who even perhaps you are as a person. But it like yeah. and like do this like tangent thing, when I'm like, of course that's not catchy enough. Anyway,
you're good at those tangent things. I like that.
I'm trying to steer away from that. I feel
is
like
that right? Because is that you're getting pigeonholed now?
It's more, yeah, that's, yeah, you know me.
No, but you, it's the monologue. That's not the tangent. It's monologue, more the, yeah. it's the bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
it's very.
I'm good. Trying to do it in a way that's not fast,
yeah.
or too fast, because it can be. That's more of like a technical look how fast I can talk thing, and that's not funny. That's just
Eminem does that. It's very impressive.
That's true.
Occasionally,
he also can ride orange with. Front door hinge, orange and door hinge.
Oh, did he do that?
He does this it's like a viral video where he talks about how you can rhyme anything with anything, and he's like, orange door hinge,
that's very good.
Door hinge is very good
That's very clever. Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of a funny silly video too, yeah. so you should check it out sometime.
By the way, on the no one's watching you thing, it reminds me of the philosopher Heidegger, and he talked about that basically in the West, we often think of consciousness and think of like we're conscious of things, are conscious of ourselves, and we're thinking about life. And Heidegger says, well, no, the most basic form of life is a form of life where you're not conscious of anything, but you're not conscious of it because you're not conscious of it. So, for example, you get in the car and you just drive and you get to your mum's house and you don't really know how you got there or what you did. You just kind of got in the car and you just get there, as in your body goes into this type of autopilot.
Yeah.
And that actually we live a lot of our lives in that way, like without thinking at all. We're not really around. And Heidegger writes incredibly brilliantly about that form of life, mm-hmm. which is the form of life that we kind of exist in a lot of the time. But we're so unaware of it.
Right.
But it's actually basic to who we are.
And so, yeah. And you live in this made up world that's in your head that has no.
Yeah. And also like, this is why, by the way, there's a guy, Herbert Dreyfuss, an American philosopher. He wrote that the traditional way that computer programmers were trying to make AI would never work, because the traditional way was to give a computer lots of rules for how to lift up a glass, how to open a door, how to run. And you would just give thousands and thousands of rules, millions of rules, and eventually the computer would be able to do these tasks. But Heidegger talked about, well, human beings don't work like that. We don't have all of these rules. We're unconsciously kind of immersed in our environment and fluidly interact with it. And that And so Herbert Dreyfuss said AI has to take a different approach to programming based on Heidegger, if we ever want to see artificial intelligence. And actually a lot of artificial intelligence programmers have taken on board what Herbert Dreyfuss talked about.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so yeah, we're getting one step closer.
Sweet, sweet.
Yeah. I saw one guy who's developing driverless cars, and he said himself, he said, listen, if you want a driverless car, you do not, you know, get the motor vehicle textbook and give the car all the rules. You let a computer observe millions of people driving. So you have like lots of cars that are fitted with something, and you just basically, the computer learns not through a whole pile of rules, but by just being immersed in a wider environment.
It adapts.
And adapts. Because
which is also terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Skynet.
Did you hear about like the driverless car that like killed somebody, and it just supposedly they were talking about it just derailing the entire industry a little bit?
I haven't watched the latest of what they do. Have they made decisions about what happened? Because I saw the video and I did think, oh my goodness, like a human wouldn't have been able to react to that either, because it was in a sense somebody came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But a computer, you know, is to be held to a higher standard, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. It's so weird to me. Like, obviously it's a tragic thing, but it just like, I don't know. I feel like there's... Maybe it's our media is so widespread, and once a headline even becomes a headline, I think it endows it with like maybe more significance than it needs to. But like statistically, like that's still, I mean, that's the first one.
You know, human beings, I forget what our value is, but we have a value that's assigned to us. I think I'm pretty sure about this, because for example, if every car drove at 20 miles an hour, less people would die. But of course, we as a society have judged that. We think we want to drive faster and have a few deaths.
Right.
And so human lives are valued, maybe it's 4 million or something like that. But when they're doing these statistical things, mm-hmm. they're having to, of course, make everything objective, which includes objectifying the value of a human being.
Yeah.
And therefore saying, you know, if everyone drove at 20 miles an hour, how much would that cost society in terms of lost revenue?
More.
And then, you add it. So you go like, okay, well, 100 deaths are saved, but we would still lose a shitload more money. So,
cool. Well, that's definitely the most depressing. That sounds like actual, that sounds like the just anti-capitalist, propaganda that you just threw at me. And I won't have it. Not on this podcast.
We have it on this podcast.
We're very pro-capitalist.
Well, that's why you can always outdo someone morally, because there's always something you can say that shows that you care more about people. Why don't we all just, you know, drive at 5 miles an hour? Do you hate people?
Yeah, you must. you don't hate people. You just value your money more because of the system here. Oh my good Lord. That is I had a thought somewhere in there, but then it made me sad.
Well, I got a thought for you. It's a stupid thing, but in first year philosophy, in analytic philosophy, they would give you these silly thought experiments. And
I can't wait.
Oh yeah. One of them was, there's various versions, but it's like, if you're driving down the road and someone stands in your way, you know, you're going to hit 5 kids and there's nothing you can do, but you can swerve and you can hit, here's a version. Sorry, there's a train on a track that's going to kill 3 people. If you pull a lever, it will move and it will kill 1 person. What do you do? And, some people say, well, you know, you're not involved in the train. So, like, when you pull that lever, you're responsible for 1 death, not the other. But one of the versions is, would you, if you're driving down the road and there's 3 people in the way, would you swerve and kill 1 person and yourself, or not swerve and kill 3 people? Well, there's a version of this now with self-driving cars, because there will be scenarios where the car has to decide whether to kill you or kill the person in front of you.
Oh, fun. Right. Wait, so you're saying, if you're like the person in the car.
So you're driving
somehow
down,
to be.
You're on a bridge, you're on a bridge, say, and like there's some school kids run across the bridge.
Yeah.
And the car basically has 2 choices, can't brake in time. So it says it either swerves you off the bridge and kills you, or you keep going and you kill the 3 kids.
Yeah. And who's not going to say save the kids?
Yes. But then would you drive that car?
Right.
That's going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the.
I want the car that's going to put me above pretty much everybody else.
You're going to sign that document going like, yep, 3 kids.
Yeah. Oh, I'll sit there in the car dealership when they're like, okay, you versus 10 children, yeah, take them out. Like,
what would you do when it gets down to like bands like Weezer or something like that?
Well, obviously, they make good music. They got to stay, you know, so I'm off.
So you're off. So you're off the bridge.
But
so
children,
you have accepted, but children, no way.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's funny. I never thought about that. Yeah, they would have to, there's going to have to be an objectifiable like method for.
And maybe you'd have to pick off like your mom and dad. Go like mother, and you go like, yeah, save my mother, father, no, run him over rather than die.
But now this assumes though that you're going to be in a situation where that decision needs to be made, and the idea I think is that these things are so safe that that scenario would be almost, you know,
it'd be very rare. But considering the millions of people you drive and every day, even if it's a very rare occurrence, it will happen occasionally.
Still not enough, I think, to not pursue them.
Yeah,
I feel like driverless cars are like that. We should all be focused. Like, people are dying constantly as a result of everybody crashing. I feel like everybody should be moving toward driverless cars.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that might save it, in the sense of like where they'll make the argument that more people will survive through driverless
cars. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There'll be deaths, I can imagine. Where are you off to next?
I am going to Chicago and then Minneapolis and then somewhere else that it will remain nameless because I've forgotten.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then you're going back
to Milwaukee. Is there a place called Milwaukee?
Yes,
there is. It sounds like a funny place. It sounds like it's made up. Milwaukee, doesn't it? Milwaukee.
It does. It also, the word looks silly.
Is that right?
I think that's, it must be some sort of a Native American word, I guess. Milwaukee.
Well, then
Cherokee.
Then it's not silly.
Of course.
Yeah, that's, you can, you, as an American, you're all, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not silly. I mean, well, that's like, I grew up in so many cities in Florida, like Kissimmee. Like, that's a very, and some people say Kissimmee. But it's Kissimmee. But it's all like,
we got very funny Irish places. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there's, I'm sure, a few crazy Irish
maybe
places.
Milwaukee isn't in America. Maybe Milwaukee is like Irish or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? Not my area of expertise.
If only there was a technology that would allow us to discover the answer.
We'll find it one day. So you're going, and then you're doing Spark.
Yes. Oh yeah. So I'm doing a retreat in Northern Ireland.
That sounds so much fun. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I mean, I call it a retreat, and partly because then some people can, I think, get money out of their work to go, but it's more of like a drunken holiday.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And so you guys are, what are you going to do, festival, or you're going to do walks?
Yeah, music and art, and there'll be, you know, magic and talks and seminars and tours and just a lot of hanging around.
What are you going to do for the rest of the day today?
I'm going to go for a drink with you.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Because it's happy birthday time.
Yeah.
What did you do for your birthday?
Nothing. It was lovely. I got back the night before from being...
It was fantastic. It was a wonderful. John Mulaney joke.
Was it?
It's a John Mulaney joke about like if the difference between being an adult and being a kid, and like when you're a kid, you like are like, oh, I went out and I did this and that and this. But then when you're an adult, you're like, what do you do over the weekend? And the feeling of relief that washes over the person, we're like, I did nothing.
Yeah, that's true. It was so lovely. I'd been traveling for weeks, and I just had a few drinks with you guys, and that was it.
That's very nice, man. Yeah. Did you have a good Easter?
I didn't do anything at
all. I saw you for like a little bit on Easter maybe, and then
I didn't like it because you don't eat chocolate eggs, and so that was a bit of a disappointment.
And you didn't have any. Yeah, my mom, when I talked to her over Easter, was like, if you'd been here, you would have gotten a chocolate bunny. And I'm like, I don't.
Your mom was here?
Well, no, she was saying this from Florida.
On the phone.
Said, if you were here, you would have gotten a chocolate bunny. And I was like, I don't like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Reese's flavored, that's my thing. And you like real chocolate.
I like real chocolate, yeah.
What kind of ice cream flavors did you get from...
Oh, well, I got my usual, like the cookie dough stuff.
That's
all the caramel stuff. And I like an almond brittle. I like the sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're saying they do Lucky Charms?
Yeah, the Lucky Charms ice cream, it's called Pots of Gold and Rainbows. It's a special March-only flavor from Salt and Straw Creamery.
Yeah, well, I want to get some of that stuff.
Dude, I'm going to try to see if there's some left, and I definitely may steal one from...
Do you know Lucky Charms are illegal back home?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're considered so bad for you?
Yeah, because they're too good.
Like they're considered like crack cocaine for kids.
Right.
So,
because you should definitely, because what, couldn't a kid just go into the cabinet anyway and just eat sugar?
There's no law against that.
I guess you put a lock on your cabinet.
Yeah.
That's my like American.
That's the American thing. Is like, yeah, freedom. You want people to be able to, if a kid wants to stab themselves in the eye with glass, absolutely. Yeah. You love
give
your
them
freedom.
All the glass.
Yeah, give them all the glass they want.
I've been looking at kids recently because I'm hitting this like age in my 30s where I'm like, I'm now starting to see kids and not be turned off by them. And it's nice. Yeah. Like, I've always not been turned off by ones I knew.
Yeah.
He said publicly. Yeah. But definitely, like, I'm seeing them out in public now, and I'm like, oh, these, look at that little thing over there. And I'm starting
so
to
take
it.
So are you getting, like, are you getting kind of fatherly impulses?
Yeah, I think the little thing's kicking in. But not enough that, oh, God, not enough that I want one right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe ever.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a little something where I'm like, all right, I think I could do it.
Yeah.
But I also know that I would want to be in a position where I could do it, like, lazily and not, like, where I could still have a life, because I think that's my fear, is that I just give up my life and I don't have anything besides raising the kid.
Yeah, yeah, and it's tough. Like, it's tough in some cities to raise a kid and continue to, you know, pursue other things, because
right.
you've got to make money, you got to look after your children. So it's a tough thing to do. Sacrifices are made both ways, you know, the sacrifice of having a child, the sacrifice of not having a child.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's no real escaping, like, that something's going to suck at some point.
Yeah.
Thing. I'm the same with like owning a dog. I couldn't own a dog right now because I like being able to walk out of the apartment and not come back.
And we're on a 12th floor. I mean, imagine walking a dog down every morning.
Waiting for that elevator at like whatever time. Yeah. Which of course is all I would do. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but it's still not, I just like it. I'm selfish with my free time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine because like it's not selfish to feel like that about a dog. Because if you buy a pet, it's very selfish because you're buying. What was it, the comedian? He says you're basically buying like a slave creature that just you lock in your house and has to kind of love you.
Sounds like Bill Burr, but I don't know.
Bill Burr, whatever. But it was funny to like, oh yeah, you're kind of getting a creature that kind of like you're containing them in this tiny apartment and you want them to love you.
Yeah, exactly. And then they do. Oh, they really loves me. And I'm like, he's all you see.
Yeah.
Like, you're his God.
That's right. That's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would like a dog, but only if I had a space for the dog to run around and have a bit of a life outside of an apartment.
Yep, exactly. That's what it's such a, when you're doing this kind of thing, this type of life, there's no set schedule. So that's very difficult for an animal to be able to like, you know, adjust. Yeah. They need routine. But I do want one at some point, a dog. And then maybe a kid. Anything you want to chat about as we're wrapping this up? What's going on?
No, I mean, I feel like this has been very chilled out. Is this maybe being too chilled out?
I know. Well, that's what we did the chill out thing, and then there ended up being like, oh, that wasn't quite chilled out, and now we're going for the chill out.
Yeah.
How do you not feel, you're feeling too chilled out?
No, it's been good. And you know, I think there's stuff about, I think we should definitely do a podcast about age sometime, but the denial of death, the idea of that, what's more scary for you, like to die or to age? Because some people are much more afraid of aging than dying.
Which are you, if you had to?
Yeah, I don't have any concerns about aging, so it's probably, if push comes to shove, death is probably the bigger thing.
Yeah. Just by process of elimination, you can, there's probably something going on there.
Yeah. I then feel it's like easier for a guy to age as well, because in our society, you know, an older guy, you know, that's still very acceptable, you know, whereas for women, it's like there's a sense in which you have to try to always look ageless.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely puts much more of an emphasis on the fear of aging. Whereas for guys, if you have like wrinkles, like I've got a scar on my face because a dog ripped my face open 2 years ago.
And I know I laugh, but I know you mean that without any like exaggeration. You really did have your face ripped open by a dog.
Yeah, 16 stitches. It was a lovely dog. I don't blame him. And he was fine. And like it was a friend's dog and they kept him. It was funny, but then they bit their other dog.
Yeah.
And then they put it down. It's like, oh yeah, the Irish guy, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But oh, the other dog.
Yep. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
But it was like 16 stitches. My whole face was open four ways. It's like my mouth opened vertically and horizontally. It wasn't very sore, weirdly. But I had to stay in the hospital for like 12 hours before they sewed me up, because they had to wait for the guy who could do that. But
the director of my hour, my next hour, she had a similar thing happen, except it was like a bulldog mastiff type thing that she was fostering, and she got really close. I guess she'd adopted, and she got really close to it, and it bit her face like off, like she could like like half of her face, and the left side, and like she, I saw her shortly after it had happened. And she basically, they were able to call the plastic surgeon who worked on like X, Y, and Z person, you know, and they came, he came in and just made her face like perfect. Like you cannot tell at all that she got attacked by a dog. And she like was explaining the wound and, you know, going through the process of like telling the original owner like what was happening and all this stuff. And I think she said that when she was in the hospital, the doctor and like everybody would come in and they would just be very matter of fact. And like, so you're going to put the dog down, right? You're going to put the dog down. Mm-hmm. So you're putting the dog down, right? Like every nurse, every doctor, every, they had like the police person come, like every single human was like, so of course you're going to put the dog down. And I think they ended up eventually not doing that, but they got rid of the dog and put it somewhere else. Cause she was like, had a daughter. And she's like, if that happened to my daughter, you know, I would.
Like, this is what these guys did, which is fair enough. Cause they said to me, what do you think? And I said, like, I'm an animal. I love dogs. And I was like, no, there's no problems. The dog was probably, you know, it came from a pound or some history. I was like, you know, and they were like, well, you know, it'll never be near children. We don't have kids. We're not going to let it out in that way. And so I was like, you know, and you know, fair enough. So that's I was like a decision for you guys to make. I don't want to make that decision, you know. But but when I did it, like even so, I've got a scar, but I'm going like again, like a scar, you know, for a guy is like, oh, that's fine, that's all right, you know. Even, but it is more difficult if you're a woman to have a scar because that's seen as kind of not okay.
Yeah, that's just it's horrible. I feel so I'm very lucky to like be on the guy train.
Well, not when you're young, but oh my god, like whenever you're a teenager as a guy and the girls who are teenagers,
sure, but I'm not that anymore.
I know, well that's the thing. Yeah
so I can forget about
that.
Well,
I remember, I think the trauma was like definitely my teens and 20s. That was a horrible time.
Right.
It's like
awful.
It's like nobody would want to go near me. I was the kid playing computer games, not knowing how to talk to anybody.
I know, I look back on my youth and I'm like, oh man, that really was just a sweet nerdy kid who had no business being in public, talking to people.
Well, at least I don't know if you did the same, but I had the kindness to remove myself from public life and just play the computer in my bedroom. Yeah. And I feel like that was
altruistic. Yeah. I took it upon myself to remove myself from society.
Yeah, it was a service to everybody. Whereas the women I knew at that stage, they were all very mature and like smart and all of that. And I was just like a very nerdy kid. So
isn't that interesting? Yeah, and you do catch up. I mean, I feel like you definitely caught up, and I feel like I like the 30s thing because I feel
I gotta say 30s and 40s have been my best decades.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm 2 years ago, I would be like, I don't know what the hell is going on. But now at 31, I'm like, okay, this fits. This is a nice, I can see kind of the timeline. I see what's happening. I can see the trends. It's nice.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I'm, which only makes me more excited for 35, 40, it's a little whatever.
Yeah. But the thing about 40s is still, you can like, as long as you're kind of fit and healthy, it's kind of fine. I think even 50s, you can be.
You know what? You're right. Maybe I'm putting too much pressure on it. I guess in my mind, I think every decade starting at 30s just gets worse and worse.
It gets worse and worse.
But maybe it plateaus a little.
I think it plateaus a little.
Slight dips, maybe.
You know, I always, you know, makes me happy when I see the James Bond movies and go, oh, that guy's like in his 40s. They had a James, View to a Kill. Roger Moore was James Bond. He must have been 60, in his mid-60s. Now, he does look it, to be honest. And when I was a kid, I loved that movie. But when I watched it recently, I was like,
he's an old guy.
How did he do that? Like, you know, he would have had to have retired a long time ago. The British Secret Service is not going to have active members in their 60s, even if you're as good as James Bond.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I suppose that maybe for like a special missions where it's like an,
but that's more like consultant. Like you get the expert who's like, this is what,
you bring someone out of retirement. I think you'd go and find somebody. I don't think you wouldn't keep someone in the position just in case you had to take someone out in the, you know,
you're right,
who's old.
Yeah, so you think maybe the James Bond films aren't totally
not totally accurate. I wouldn't say 100% accurate. Daniel Craig's getting old. I mean, not old, he's He's a few years older than me, but he's doing the next James Bond. He's
is he? I thought he was done after Spectre. Or
no, he's doing the next one.
Oh,
he's doing and he'll be in his, I guess, late 40s. I mean, he looks amazing. Like he's so cool looking. He's so cool looking. But you could tell, like, when I didn't realize, when you watch him in Casino Royale, he does look young.
Really?
And then in Spectre, you know, because there's probably 8 years.
I love Casino Royale.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
I hated Quantum of Solace.
I know, I really liked that. I think that's a misunderstood movie. That was partly hit, I think, by the writer's strike in Hollywood. But it's the most... It is the most left-leaning of all the James Bonds, because it's about basically the privatization of water and, taken from a public service. So it's kind of got this really interesting subtext.
Oh.
Yeah.
You kind of have that thing with Alien Covenant or whatever that movie is. There's certain, like, you even liked Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but not for any intelligent reasons.
I was hoping you'd be like, yeah, but that's only because it was commentary on a consumerist lifestyle that impacts you on a psychic level.
No, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that great a movie, but I think it's just such a good idea.
No, that was a garbage movie. horribly boring, bad, terrible movie. That's a horrible movie.
Is it?
Yeah, truly.
I thought the Joker was. I thought Joker should have been in it more.
No.
But whoever that guy was, I thought he was good.
No.
And then Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn's amazing.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
My God, she's amazing.
I mean, she was what made the movie. But your man, what's his name? Leo?
Jared Leto.
He just wasn't in enough. I thought the new rendition of the Joker was interesting.
You like that pimp?
Like a mafia DJ pimp kind of.
Yeah.
I just thought they had to reinvent him again after Heath Ledger.
I think that's what it felt like to me, is like they're like, oh, we can't even look anywhere near like Heath Ledger, so we have to go this weird direction.
Like, yeah.
He's like, he seemed to me like the Batman Beyond reboot of the Joker, or if there was one singular, I think there might have been multiple. I don't remember. I didn't really watch it that much. But anyway, if you want to hear me nerd out, we can talk about the Batman for a while. Anything you want to close on, Pete? We're at the 45-minute mark. What do you want to talk about? Closing thoughts on this meandering, fun, loose episode of The Fundamentalists, which will come back soon with more concrete material as soon as our schedules permit.
Well, can I ask a question on that?
Please
Not
do.
To you, but to our listeners, if we put this out. Like, what are you enjoying most? What do you think we should do? What do you think we shouldn't do? You know, like, do you like the conversational stuff? Do you like that we have topics? I mean, is that bad to ask people? Are we going to get a torrent of abuse?
No, as long as they know we're going to do whatever we want to do ultimately.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to hear that
As long as they know that we will not read your comments, we will not comment on your comments.
Yep, we will be angry at them if you make us feel bad.
We will delete your comments. We will block you.
You'll be blocked, you'll be muted. I mean, yeah, I think that's fine. I'm very curious to know what people... I think that's a great thing to
only
do.
Only because, like, here, you know, I've been trying to work this stuff out because I do more kind of these lectures and seminars. I'm always thinking, it has to always have a point. And you're more, you can have kind of ones where we're just sitting chatting, and because it's about creating a community and we're all in this together.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but I'm
but
kind
both,
of having
right.
to, it's a bit of both, but I'm having to kind of like, I'm interested in whether people want that. And
right. Yeah. I think, we've talked about this, but we come from two different worlds of versions of being in front of people.
Yes.
And yours is very based in the content that you say. So sometimes people want more of that, and we try to do that. But at the same time, it's also about, you know, hanging out and having a drink and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So,
which is what I think this can be at its best. We're hanging out. We're just doing what we usually do.
Yeah.
We do talk about some philosophy and ideas occasionally. I would love and welcome, feedback to kind of help us continue to move
absolutely
forward.
Yeah, because we're in this I would say for the long haul. I don't see it ending anytime soon, and it seems to be going very well in terms of, I don't know, people seem to be enjoying it, which is nice.
Well, you have a lot more followers, so to be honest, whenever you ask for feedback, when I ask for feedback, I'll get 10 comments which I can just read and reflect on. I guess if you ask for feedback, you can get hundreds
maybe,
of comments,
maybe 20, maybe, and it's not that much. People don't I think people don't, sometimes people aren't quite as critical, I think, as I imagine them to be as a performer. I always imagine my audience to be hypercritical and against. I always have some kind of weird antagonistic, which is that we could probably talk about this at some point, but like talking about some kind of imaginary other, I do sometimes feel very in a constant state of having to prove myself to this sort of, you know, mass of people. But in actuality, like the reality is that that most people are just enjoying things and enjoying whatever it is, which is really nice.
And they're there maybe because they like
already,
So yeah, there's a
exactly, you know. Yeah. So it's like I psych myself up into assuming that, you know, what I'm doing level, is broken, and sometimes it's not.
There's a level you can get to where then people hate watch you. But you are that. I mean, you're kind of you haven't had much of that. But like,
no.
But I kind of go, once you go over like 100,000 people who are following you, then you get into, oh no, it's not just people following you because either they get something out of what you're saying or they like you. People will follow you because they hate you.
Exactly.
Because,
yeah.
You know.
And it's a double edged sword. I think the bigger you go, it's just more and more people are the hate watchers or are the people who have crap to say, and then it's like you just forget. It's like, I've noticed that with the Valley Folk stuff and then influx of like, you know, a little bit more attention, there seems to be some kind of like a thing where it's like, oh, this, I forgot about this part. I forgot about the trolls. Yeah. I forgot about the assholes. Yeah. I did it, dude. I started engaging with a troll, yesterday because I posted a stand-up clip called I'm Republican, and it's about, you know, it's that joke where I say that I don't know what my ethnicity is. I asked my dad when I was a kid and he looked at him and he said, I don't know, Republican. And so that's this bit about how I am kind of Republican because I used to have my shit together and now I don't, and I used to know what I stand for and now I don't, and most of all I have a very difficult time connecting with the youth. And that's the end of the clip, and it's a fun little joke, but it got like, you know, of course if you say I'm Republican, I didn't think it would hit like Republicans. And then I got this kid who's like, hack comedian, you know, and he's like giving, you know, very kind of,
so he got you right.
And I was like, he gets my brand immediately. I don't have to explain anything to him. But I started replying to him with just that SpongeBob meme, which I'll show you sometime, but it's my favorite meme. And we kept going back and forth, and like he was like, oh yeah, you're so original using me, you know, and he was like so angry. And I was like, this kid, I was like, it's the typical like conservative guy who like can't have a sense of humor about what he believes because he's so sure that it's right. And I was like having so much fun until eventually he got boring, and I was like, damn man, you got boring. And and then I blocked him and had my, I sent him on his way. But it was one of those moments where like I was like, I actively chose to engage with the hater, quote unquote, because I wanted to, and it's just fun sometimes. That's and fun, I think it's more of a release to do that occasionally.
The sad truth is most of us, with myself excluded, do hate watch. We won't comment, but I'm sure you've got your guilty secrets of hate watching.
But the thing is, they're not super popular.
Yeah.
So I have very niche, like, people that I hate watch and all that.
Yeah, yeah. And like, that's it. Because whatever you hate watch, as you know, kind of like, it kind of tells you something about yourself. And so I think it's a good to reflect on what we hate watch.
Oh, I know. And what I it can tells usually, us. Yeah. I can pinpoint exactly what I'm... in myself, like there's one guy who I'll watch who he just does content constantly, and I see it as being very not original in any way. And I'm sure that I watch him because in some level I worry that I'm not putting anything out original, or I'm jealous that I'm not putting
Will a lot of YouTubers not think that this is them, because loads of YouTubers put out lots of content. So now have you just isolated like all these YouTubers? YouTuber talking about me.
No YouTuber. If any YouTuber is listening to me right now, then they're not busy.
It's not this person.
Yeah. They're not busy. If they have enough free time to listen to this, then they're not.
All right.
They're not a popular YouTuber that's going to be hurt by what I'm saying. Anyway, that reminds me, I got to do a little thing. Okay, I think that's the end. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good. What about you?
No, that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. This is on patreon.com/PeterRollins. And we'll be back next week. There might be a missing episode somewhere in here because...
there might be, because we've got like 3 weeks apart.
Yeah.
We're going to try and keep up, but
also let us know what you thought of the episode where our audio was a little off because we were in different parts of the world. If that was cool, if you like that, let us know. And I guess rate us on iTunes, which was really helpful.
We're supposed
to be asking for that.
That's important. That helps, does it?
Apparently a lot. So if you guys could leave us a positive review on The Fundamentalists, if you so want to, that'd be great. And thanks for listening.
Take care.
Bye guys.
I think, but I read that.